why are some people special to you? Why are there some people who really stand out to you in your life as somebody who means a lot? Yesterday, February 17th, was the birthday of three people who have been somewhat influential in my life. The first one turned 55 yesterday. His name is Michael Jordan. As a kid growing up in Central Illinois, I loved Michael Jordan. He was my favorite athlete, my favorite celebrity. I wanted to be like Mike. I had the posters, and I admired him for his basketball skill. I wanted to be really good at sports like he was, and I'd even try to imitate him some and stick out my tongue and all that. But anyway, he's a person, and I shouldn't even know his birthday. I'm embarrassed to say it. But yesterday, Michael Jordan turned 55. Happy birthday, Mike. Second person who had a birthday yesterday, his name is Eduardo Reyes, and he turned 16 yesterday. When I lived in Frankfort, Indiana, I spent several years in an organization called Coach Kids. Christ offers all kids hope, and it was basically a Christian version of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, where we mentored kids who were at risk. And Eduardo is a kid who has just really impressed me. And I tried to be a mentor to him, and I was able to have a meal with him in the fall. And as a 15-year-old sophomore in a home where it's really rough, the disadvantages that he has are surprising to me. He's even got to take care of three younger brothers, but he's getting great grades. He stays up past midnight most nights studying because his grades are great, his test scores, all that. He's going to go to Purdue and be an engineer. And I think about him and how was he able to do that? How was he able to escape his circumstances? And a person that I wanted to mentor, and he became important to me because of our relationship. And wow, I just really respect what he's doing right now. It's amazing. And then the next person is named Evelyn. And yesterday, Evelyn Perkins would have turned 86 years old. She is a person who last Sunday I had the fortune of going to her house, and I wished her a happy early birthday. And one of the things that she said is, "Well, I might make it," but we both knew she probably wasn't going to make it to her 86th birthday. And I did her funeral on Friday, and I want to tell you a little bit later in the message about what that last meeting with Evelyn was like, because I hope it will speak to you like it spoke to me. But as I was thinking about these three people who were born on February 17th and how they've been impactful in my life in different ways, I thought it was funny about the diversity of people. I'm a 39-year-old white guy from Illinois, middle class, had that kind of an upbringing. And then the next one, Michael Jordan, is a 55-year-old African-American who was born in North Carolina and became a hugely successful celebrity and very wealthy person. Then Eduardo Reyes, who was born in Veracruz, Mexico, and has really had difficult economic circumstances, but is a 16-year-old who's had a big role in my life. And then lastly, a woman who would be 86, who just had a big. But so as thinking about it, today we gather and we're a diverse collection of people in a lot of ways. We have different backgrounds. We have different stories. We've had different life experiences that we all bring into this place. Some of us have been in foreign countries and spent quite a bit of time there. So we come in with all these different experiences, and we have different styles of learning. We experience God in ways that are unique sometimes. So how is it, and I've been thinking about this, people who experience differently and have different stories and different ways of hearing and understanding and perceiving, how can God speak to so many different types of people who hear differently and experience and perceive differently? That's the question we're going to ask as we get into Scripture this morning. And we're going to start in a book called Hebrews. Hebrews is a mysterious book, and it has a really great beginning. Hebrews 1:1, it says, "Long ago in a galaxy far, far away." Okay, just checking to see if you're paying attention. Okay. Long ago, still a good start, right? At many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Do you know who wrote Hebrews? No, right? No, we don't know who. And Hebrews is such an interesting book for me because we don't really know who wrote the book of Hebrews. And even when we call it the canon, the books that have been accepted into the Bible as scripture, when all the canon, which books were going to be in the Bible, when people were trying to determine, it's unique that Hebrews made it because most of the authors, we really know who they were. They had connections. They'd seen the resurrected Christ. They were well known. But for some reason, Hebrews is in there, and we aren't really sure who the author is. Now, there are a lot of different theories on who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the bottom line is, when you look at history and the records that we have, people really don't know. It was accepted because it was exquisitely written. Greek scholars, a lot of Greek scholars will say this is the best written book in the New Testament. So whoever wrote this had great grasp of language and was an excellent writer. And also because of its solid theology. The early church really appreciated the theology, the concepts, the teachings of the book of Hebrews, and have included it into our canon of Scripture. So there are different thoughts. A few think Paul. A lot of scholars today think that Paul probably didn't write it because his name's not on it, and then the style is different than Paul's style in his other letters. But other people think that it may have been a companion of Paul. There are some names that are thrown out, like Barnabas. Some people even think Luke. There's guesses onto who wrote the book of Hebrews. And one theory that I'm going to share with you, and I want to be careful here because this is just a theory, but one theory on who wrote the book of Hebrews is that it was written by a woman. A female wrote the book of Hebrews, which is why the early church didn't ascribe who wrote the book of Hebrews. Now, again, I'm going to be clear here. I don't know this. This is not a fact. This is just speculation. And there's some reasons for this theory, so it's not completely implausible. But it was interesting, as I was doing the research on Hebrews and what different people thought about who wrote this book, I remember just like earlier that day or the day before, my daughter Vila had been reading a little biography on the writer Jane Austen. And she had shown me, she's like, Dad, you won't believe this. And she had shown me that when Jane Austen published her first book was published, Sense and Sensibility, because she was a woman, it was simply titled Sense and Sensibility by a lady. So they did admit that a woman had written it, but it wasn't considered proper. So the culture just didn't really want, it wasn't comfortable saying that Jane Austen had written this book. And that was in 1811. So I was thinking, is it possible that, you know, as culture sort of come and like our understanding of women and equality and all that, is it possible that we don't know the author of Hebrews because a woman wrote it? It's possible. Again, I'm not saying it happened, but it's possible, and I found that interesting. So at this point, again, we may be discovering how we hear different. Some of you might be thinking, this guy's a heretic. He's saying a woman wrote Hebrews, or it should be Paul or whatever. Some of you might be thinking, this is boring. What is he talking about? Get rid of this tangent. And others of you might be inspired, like, yeah, I bet a woman wrote this. Hebrew is my favorite book now. So we're all perceiving this differently. So whether I'm a heretic, Mr. Boring Man, or Mr. Inspiration, we're all here and hearing this. So what's the point of this, even bringing up Hebrews, and maybe a woman wrote this? Well, think about this. Think about what's being said here. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers, our forefathers, our ancestors, those who came before us by the prophets. And if we look at some of the things that it says in the law and the prophets about the ways that God spoke, God did speak through women. God spoke through women. He spoke through a queen named Esther who saved her people because of her courage. And he used her uncle Mordecai to speak to him. God spoke through different kinds of women all throughout Scripture. And even as the New Testament started, God spoke loudly. I think that's Jesus came to really help us understand the value and the dignity of women. As the first witnesses to the resurrection were women. Mary Magdalene and others were the ones who were the witnesses in a time when women were not even legal witnesses. They couldn't testify in court. But Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, chose to first appear to women. So God spoke and had to hear that message. The guys who were hiding out, afraid, behind closed doors because they thought they were getting it next, they had to hear that message first from women. So God has spoke many times in many different ways. Men, women, animals. Think about some of the ways in the Old Testament. Balaam's donkey. A donkey spoke. A burning bush to Moses. A big fish to Jonah. We could go on and on about the different ways that God spoke. But it testifies to this truth here. At many times and in many ways. Or we could maybe even say at various times in various ways. That God speaks. God speaks through the prophets. God speaks through men. God speaks through women. Through circumstances. Through animals. Through all kinds of ways. God spoke to Jacob through a ladder. God speaks through many different kinds of ways. So the next verse, to contrast that, it says, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." And if we could go back, get in a time machine and go back 2,000 years ago and listen to the Son, Jesus, speak, do you know what we would hear? We would what? Say it, Peggy.
God's voice.
God's voice. We would hear God's voice speaking Aramaic. And do you know how many of us could understand it? Two, probably. This, if we were to go back in a time machine and hear God's voice, Jesus speaking, we would not understand it unless the Holy Spirit intervened and helped us to understand it. Because that voice was speaking Aramaic and we couldn't have understood it. And then people recorded it down, and then later it was written into Greek, and somebody looked at the Greek and wrote it into English so we can understand some of what he said, but we wouldn't be able to understand what Jesus said because we don't speak Aramaic. Now, I think there's great value in it, especially learning Hebrew and understand the Old Testament, or Koine Greek, better understand the New Testament, but I think all of us here would say that you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar, or a Koine Greek scholar, or an Aramaic scholar for God to speak to you. Because God speaks in various ways through various times. God can speak, and we fortunately don't have to learn those languages, although it's valuable and beneficial. So, and thinking about how God spoke, I think it says a lot about how the Holy Spirit speaks by the story of the day of Pentecost that's recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. And it describes all of them, and that's the disciples. All of them on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Isn't that beautiful? Now they were staying in Jerusalem. They were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now, there's some thought to Pentecost, to some differences of opinions, as there always are. Whether the miracle was that everybody spoke different languages or everybody heard it, maybe it was a combination of both. But here we have Luke writing about the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was poured out, everyone heard their own language. And thus the church was born, and thus God bringing the world to himself. Everyone heard their own language in various ways at various times. And we're not just talking, you know, one of the languages that God speaks? God's multilingual. One of the languages that God speaks is yours. It's one of the convictions that we have as believers is that God can speak our language. Even though we don't hear him audibly, even though it's hard to describe sometimes, our conviction is that we have a God who speaks, and He speaks our language. He can get through to us. He can get through to the people in our lives. It's a message of the Scripture and a hope that we have. I want to shift focus a little bit to a story involving Solomon. And famously, Solomon prayed and God asked him in a dream, what is it that he really wanted? Because he was getting ready to take over for David, the greatest king in Israel's history, the man after God's own heart. And Solomon was young. It was going to be a daunting task. So in this dream, Solomon gets to ask God, the Father, for one thing. And we talk about it being wisdom. And let's look at what it says in 1 Kings. It says, this is what Solomon says to God in the dream. Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon is sometimes we call it wisdom, but he asked for a discerning heart. Another way that we could say this is he asked for a heart that hears, a heart that could hear. Peggy asked me, do you think you can hear with your eyes? And I said, yes, I think you can hear with your eyes. I think you can hear with your heart. I think you can hear with your ears. But hearing is not just limited to our ears, and it's not just limited to English or whatever language we speak. Solomon prayed for a heart that hears, a discerning heart. And that's our hope, that we have a God who speaks that language. I think a lot of times, and Amanda talked really well about this earlier, struggling with big decisions or thinking that God is saying something to us, and we struggle. Did I hear God right? Or it seems like silence maybe, like, God, am I getting this right? Is it just me? Is it something I ate? What is it? Like, I really want to get this right. And I think it's good to struggle with those decisions and ask God specific things. Those are really good. And that question, God, Lord, what do you want me to do? I think that's a great question. And sometimes it can be really difficult to discern or to hear what it is that we think God wants us to do. But we're going to do a spoiler alert on this one too, as Amanda talked about, or give you a cheat sheet. Whenever we ask that question, God, what do you want us to do? The answer always has something to do with love. If we act in love, we cannot go wrong. Even if you don't know what to do, one thing that we can all do is love. We can't all be right about everything, but we can all love. And if we love, we're not going to get it wrong, because love never fails. It's foolproof if we truly love. Love is the language that God is most fluent in. It's a language that can bridge cultures, age gaps, all kinds of issues. But love is always the language of God, because as John wrote, God is love. So I want to encourage, what's application? I want to encourage to have a heart that hears love. Have a heart that speaks love. Try to listen and discern love. Discern God. But to do it specifically with love, by hearing love and by speaking love, looking for ways to do that. And just a different, there may be different dialects of love. A guy by the name of Dr. Gary Chapman came up with what he called 5 love languages. He talked about how some people express love in acts of service, other people in quality time, gifts can be one, words of affirmation, physical touch. Those are all different ways that we have of speaking and hearing love. And sometimes we can think about how different people experience love differently, and that the application is with a husband and wife. Maybe one, the guy, his love language is gifts. So he's given his wife some things, or maybe his love language is words of affirmation. So he's encouraging his wife and saying these nice things and dropping her hints and all that, and he's wondering why he's not getting it back. And then maybe her word is, or her love language is, acts of service. And so she's doing these things, she's making his coffee, and she's wondering why he's not doing it back. So he's wondering why she's not saying nice things back to him, and she's wondering why he's wasting time on the flowery words when there's dishes piling up on the sink. Because we can get crossed up in these things. God speaks in various times, various ways, in love, and just trying to learn how to speak and hear love clearly. Because somebody may be speaking love to you and you just don't hear it because your dialect's a little different. And the same, you may be trying to speak it to somebody and they just don't quite hear it because their dialect is a little different. So let's pray, be like Saul and pray for the discerning hearts, hearts that hear. Pray to hear God in all ways, but especially with the language of love. I'm going to close by telling you about my goodbye to Evelyn. And thinking about that, I want to ask that question too. Why is it that some people are special? Why is it that some people are really matter and are meaningful in your life? As I drove, knowing it was going to be a goodbye last Sunday, I went there and there was another guy. His name's Paul, and the three of us just had a really special relationship with that church. Just something, we felt like we were in it together, and there was a unique closeness that we experienced. We got each other. We were a team. And so Paul, Evelyn, and I gathered together, and we exchanged our words, our goodbyes, and our prayers. And as Paul prayed, he said, God, thank you for my friend Evelyn. He said, she loved me so much. I guess that's probably why I loved her too. And I thought of a text that my mom had sent me because I was texting back and forth. I didn't know if the family was going to let me go see her one more time. And my mom texted me, I am so happy you get to go. She loves you so much. Maybe that is one reason I love her so much. If you're going to love somebody's kid, the parents are going to love you too. My parents loved Evelyn. They even brought her to church here when I started. And so as Paul was praying this, my mom's text is, oh, mom was right again. And the memory that I had was when I called Evelyn, because I had to make a special call when I decided to leave Frankfurt and Kelly Crossing, I had to call Evelyn. When I told her, Evelyn, I'm leaving, she wept. She cried. And I was like, that's it. Yeah, I loved her because she loved me so much. I meant a lot to her. And isn't that kind of the gospel? We love because he first loved us. And this woman lived out the gospel for me. She loved me. And I loved her back, just like Paul said. We loved each other, and we loved each other back. We said our goodbyes, made promises. She made a promise to me about something that she had done. And so she told me she did carried her promise, and When I called her to tell her that I was resigning, she told me, promise me, I'll promise you this, you promise me to do my funeral. I said, Evelyn, I will do your funeral. So I told her I was going to do the funeral, and I made her a promise. Evelyn was a woman, she did whatever needed to be done, so one of the things that she did was she folded bulletins. And so I said, Evelyn, as long as I can, I'm going to fold at least one bulletin for a Sunday, and I'm going to remember you, and I'm going to try to do what you've done by living out the gospel. And I said, also, I'm going to ask our worship leader to do How Great Thou Art, because it was her favorite song. So I made her that promise, and Brandon worked with me too, so Brandon's part of it as well. But we're going to close that. After this sermon, we're going to do How Great Thou Art. It's a tribute to Evelyn. And she gave us, before we left, she gave Paul and I her blessing. And she started out, she said, her blessing was this. We thank you. And then she stopped to say, she said we because she wanted us to know it was from God, that God was with her. So she looked at us and she said, we, it's me and it's God. She said this, and she wanted every person to know, to be blessed and to know how special and unique they are. And this was her blessing. And I looked, and a person who was almost 86 years old, who had aged 20 years since I'd last seen her. She was on her last breaths. She could barely sit up. And in some of her last breaths, she said, looked at us, and she spoke these words of blessing. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. And I heard God speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are great, you are good, and you are holy. You are here and you speak. We seek to have ears that hear, eyes that see, and hearts that discern. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. Use us to hear and to speak God's love at many times and in many ways. In Jesus' name, amen.